Hello, CQW listener. This is Scott Price. Recently, the government of Nigeria has been starting to privatize their publicly owned and operated power sector in the country. Manitoba Hydro International, the wholly owned subsidiary of Manitoba Hydro, is taking part in this deal. Manitoba Hydro International has a 3-year management contract with the government of Nigeria to manage and restructure the Transmission Company of Nigeria, which will eventually be sold on the market to private investors. Nigel Wills, project manager with Manitoba Hydro International, explains both what Manitoba Hydro does around the world as well as their role in Nigeria.
We're not just involved in Nigeria. We're involved in many, many countries. We've worked in over 70 different countries. And for instance, we're managing the Liberia Electricity Corporation also in West Africa. We have people on the ground in Uganda. And we've just recently completed some work in Sierra Leone, all of these post-conflict countries. We have people on the ground in Mozambique and a variety of other locations. So it's not unusual for us to be in developing countries, and certainly not unusual for those countries to be in sub-Saharan Africa. In the case, and I should explain that there's no deal that is in terms of any financial investment by MHI. Manitoba Hydro International does not invest at all other than its own infrastructure here in Manitoba. We do not own any generation, transmission, distribution facilities anywhere in the world, and we're not interested in that. What we do is we provide training, consulting, and management services to utilities and governments, primarily in developing countries, and some specialized technical services to utilities anywhere in the world, including the U.S., Canada, and other places. In Nigeria, the Nigerian government wanted to privatize the electricity sector, or I shouldn't say privatize so much as wanting to attract direct foreign investment and private sector investment in the power sector, which has been in a dismal condition for many decades. And therefore, they went through a process of selling off all of the distribution companies, I believe it was 14 of them, and selling off the rights under concession agreements to their hydropower plants and thermal power plants, coal-fired, oil and gas-fired. And that was all completed, but they chose to maintain the transmission system as a nationally owned system, but realized that investors weren't likely to be too comfortable with the same actors in Nigeria running the transmission system, which of course is the link between the generators and the distributors, and also to operate a power market. And so they put out a request for proposals internationally for a management firm to come in and take over the management of the transmission company to make sure that the transition to private sector participation went smoothly. And so we run the Office of System Operations, we run the Office of Market Operations, and we overall look after the Transmission Company of Nigeria and its direction.
Right, and that'll be continuing on for a couple of years until it's the private investors come in, correct?
The private investors are in place, and the distribution companies have been sold, as long and the generation has been concessioned. And at this particular point, before Christmas, they're looking at a kind of a pilot transitional market where the market operator will start to manage the transactions, buying and selling of power between distributors and generators, and we'll be at the heart of that. That's our job. Well, the problem with Nigeria and the power sector in general there over past decades is, of course, the problem of corruption. It's been an abused part of the economy as a singular countrywide government entity, and it's made very, very little progress over the last 20, 30 years in meeting the power needs of the country. By introducing private sector investment, now you have efficiencies, a desire to turn a profit, of course, from these undertakings, and you've introduced competition. So the whole idea is that with some significant funding from the international donor community in rural electrification distribution systems, that the net result of this will be a more efficient power system that will allow for greater access to electricity for Nigerians, because only a small percentage of the population has access now, and what they have access to is wholly unreliable and poor quality.
Mr. Will's point about the Nigerian power sector being mismanaged and corrupt in the past is true, but there are still questions as to whether this privatization scheme will truly fix the problems in the Nigerian power sector and ultimately give Nigerians greater access to power and electricity. Kola Ibrahim is a labor activist based in Nigeria. He has written several articles for Pambazuka News that are critical of the overall scheme of privatization. Mr. Ibrahim gives some background to the situation in Nigeria, why he thinks the privatization plans will do more bad than good for Nigerians.
You know, the Nigeria has been having a problem about electricity supply for a very long time now. I mean, more than 3 decades now, there has been constant and worsening the electricity supply to the populace. So, I mean, and the national monopoly that is providing the electricity, the formerly National Electric Power Authority, now Power Holding Company of Nigeria, has failed to provide electricity to the majority of Nigerians. Those that have access to electricity, about 30% of the population, they have it in an erratic manner. I mean, not having it for some hours, like 5-4 hours, at most 10 hours and off for the rest of the day, possibly 3 days in a week and some other things like that. So, I mean, most Nigerians are already, they've lost faith in the government's ability to revamp power supply. And power supply is very critical to the development of the country and because virtually every sector of the economy relies on constant supply of electricity. So, I mean, many people are already disenchanted with this, with the nature and the running of the national, service, the PHCN. So, government is banking on this to launch, to privatize the sector, banking on the general disillusionment, general anger against lack of electricity. They now want to use the problem that people are facing to privatize the sector, not actually to solve the problem of the sector, of electricity generation, but to actually use that opportunity to hand over the electricity generation, distribution and transmission to handful of few people to make money. That is the essence. And from, I think since 2004, they've enacted a law, the electricity reform bill, where the national monopoly was broken down into 16 successor companies. Some for the generation of power, some for distribution, and one for transmission. The transmission is the one that Manitoba was contracted to manage for the next 4 years. So that is the background to the whole issue. Our own position is that, of course, while we agree that in the past there has been, the National Electricity Company, the PHCN, and just before it, the NEPA, has failed the people. But this failure arises as a result of the bureaucratization, the undemocratic running of the company. Bureaucratization has failed Nigeria woefully. All the companies, all the sectors of the economy that have been privatized have shown clearly a default. Even the chairman of the National Council of Privatization, the highest decision-making organ in the privatization process, which is headed by the vice president of the country, Namadi Sambu, the vice president came out and said that 80% of all privatized companies have failed, which shows that the privatization itself is a failure. It's not an attempt to improve to improve the situation, but actually to feed on the rottenness. It's like the private sector just want to feed on the rottenness. You know, Nigeria is a very big country in terms of population in Africa. So anybody who has control over a service or product which a sizable proportion of the country consumes is going to become a rich man overnight.
So far, Mr. Ibrahim's criticisms and skepticism seem to be well-founded. The deal between Manitoba Hydro International and the Nigerian government has been mired in controversy over the past several months. The Nigerian government is currently reviewing the contract with Manitoba Hydro International due to concerns if MHI can even deliver on its mandate, and that Manitoba Hydro International has taken unilateral and undemocratic decisions in the managing of the Transmission Company of Nigeria. The review comes amidst the resignation of the chairman of the supervisory board of the TCN, engineer Haman Tucker. In an interview with the Daily Trust, Tucker stated that Manitoba Hydro International was allowed to take unilateral decision to appoint the company's chief executive officer, which should be the responsibility of the president. In another infraction, Manitoba Hydro International assumed sole control of the Transmission Company of Nigeria, bank accounts, and day-to-day running of the company without the supervision of the supervisory board. For listeners here in Manitoba, it might seem strange that the international subsidiary of Manitoba Hydro is involved in such privatization efforts abroad, but the phenomenon is nothing new. David McDonald, professor of international development at Queen's, explains the wider context of public companies being involved in privatization efforts abroad and the wider effect of corporatization on public companies.
Corporatization actually doesn't technically involve the private sector at all. This refers to a phenomenon where you have a public company like Manitoba Hydro or the Liquor Control Boards or all kinds of different state-owned entities that we're familiar with. And it refers to a more of a kind of institutional, cultural kind of ideological kind of change where over the last 25, 30 years with the introduction of neoliberal public policy making, we've started to see public companies run as if they were private companies. So they're given a kind of arm's length legal status from the state. Managers are often given a different set of performance criteria. They're often paid according to whether or not the company, quote unquote, makes a profit or not. So we've seen quite a dramatic institutional and cultural shift, even within our fully publicly owned and operated utilities. And so that's a related shift to privatization. And in some ways, governments have been doing this because it avoids the politically controversial question of privatization. Well, sometimes actually achieving the same objectives because the public company starts to operate just like a private company. And as we've seen with Manitoba Hydro and other places, they actually then go out and start to aggressively pursue contracts in other parts of the world and behave exactly like a private company in those other places. So there's important distinctions here, but what makes them all the same is a kind of ideological commitment to the market and the notion that market rules and norms will somehow make these organizations more efficient. And that really kind of transforms the nature, behavior, and meaning of what a public service is. Unfortunately, it's very widespread, and it's not just limited to Manitoba Hydro in Canada. So Hydro-Québec, for example, has been involved since the late 70s all over the world in these kinds of operations. We see it going on in Ontario, different sectors. So it's pretty common, and we're also seeing it increasingly now with state-owned public providers increasingly in countries in the south. So a lot of South African, Brazilian, Indian companies that are public at home and ironically sort of celebrate their publicness at home, partly for political reasons, will then go out and quite aggressively pursue these private contracts elsewhere. So in the case of South Africa, Eskom, which is the state electricity provider, the largest one in Africa, has been going out and seeking contracts in the rest of Africa. And Rand Water, another big public utility in South Africa, is doing the same thing. They have a they're no longer doing it, but they had a contract to run the water supply in Accra and Ghana. And what's interesting is when you read the local news, people protesting against privatization, they don't differentiate between a so-called public company coming in to run their service from a private company. So they're perceived as and operate as any other private multinational corporation when they're outside of their country, and yet will sometimes quite coyly celebrate their publicness at home. And one has to really question what the motivations are behind this.
The ultimate effect of these privatization efforts in Nigeria will play out in the next few years. Judging from the most recent events, the results look to be far from stellar for the people in Nigeria. For people here in Manitoba who support public utilities, the question is, do you object to those very same companies profiting from privatization efforts you would resist here in Manitoba? For CKUW, I'm Scott Price.